Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life, peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Nicole. Well, don't we have a great worship team? It was a full team this morning, and I don't know about you, but I just really felt greatly encouraged and blessed by that time of worship. Are you able to turn the screen on the back there too so I can see that? No? It's not working. Okay. Well, I'll see how I go with the eyes in the back of my head. Yeah, on Friday night, Wendy and I went to see The Lion King. I don't know who's seen it, but wow, what the cinematics, is that what you call it? They were just awesome. And, you know, movies can be great entertainment. Wendy and I, we enjoy going to movies. And I'm sure some of you like going to movies as well. One of our favourite type of movies is sort of the action-adventure movie. Yeah, we sort of see ourselves in there, you know, as the main characters. You know, sort of Jason Bourne or Jack Reacher, James Bond even. I have to get my suit out for that one though. But I'm sure that each of you also like films. And well, some of you probably like films, and you've got your own particular genre of film that you like watching. One type of film, though, one genre of movies that I like watching, which Wendy doesn't, is the cautionary tale. And these are often movies that closely resemble life, and they tell a story about a person or some people doing something, usually something really stupid, and then it usually shows then what not to do in life after that. And I usually sit through these films, and in my mind and under my breath, I'm going, no, 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 don't do that. What? Oh, you did it. But by the end of the movie, I have sort of sweaty palms. But also, as I walk out, I have some sort of relief that I'm not that person. And I can go back out into the world and just reflect on what I saw. Now, the... Is that working? Did I turn it on? Ah, that's a trick. Okay, so the 2018 movie American Animals, directed by Bart Layton, is one of these cautionary tales. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but as the movie begins, it states on the screen, in print, it says, this movie is not based on a true story. It is a true story. And right from the very beginning, I sort of have sweaty palms when I was watching it. And Anyway, it's a story about four young university students in Lexington, Kentucky, in the United States. And these are all young guys who are from good homes and who feel, for some reason, quite dissatisfied with their life or their lives. And so they hatched this plan to steal some extremely valuable books from their university library. The main book that they want to steal is actually this magnificent book that was made. It's a book of birds, beautiful pictures of birds by an artist by the name of John James Audubon. Some of you might have heard of it. That's actually held in their special collection room. This book is actually one of the most valuable books in the world. It's worth about $18 million Australian dollars. And there was also some other books in the library, some other sort of fairly rare books. One was Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species and some other sort of books, particularly about animals and things like that. They set out with this plan to steal some of these books. But right from the very start, their plan goes wrong. It's flawed. And even in the movie, they admit to themselves that they don't know what they're doing and they don't know how to go about stealing these books. So what do they do, being university students? Do they go to the library? Well, there's no books on heists in the library. So what they do is they sit down and watch some movies about people who commit robberies. And they do this while drinking lots of beer and things like that, which obviously you can see where the story's going. It's not working out very well for them. Anyway, from their sort of looking at this film, they hatched the idea that they're going to go to this library in the middle of the day and they're going to dress up as really old men and wearing hats and grey hair and so forth. They're going to go there when they know that the librarian is there by herself in the special collection. Their plan, of course, goes wrong. Their attempt to tie the librarian up doesn't go to plan. And as she's on the ground in the library, they'd knocked her to the ground and she's crying and moaning a bit. They suddenly freeze and are confronted by what they've done. But then they go on and they try to steal these books. And what they didn't realise is that the book they're trying to steal is so big and so heavy they can't even lift it. And they drop it. And then they've got this plan with the other books to exit the building down through the basement. So they take the lift down to the bottom, to the basement, open the door, and suddenly realise it's a dark room without an exit door. So they have to come up and they have to walk out through the library in plain sight of everyone. But it doesn't stop there, you see. They also use their own email addresses for contacting the library and also the art collectors in New York that they were going to sell the books to. And they use their own phone numbers. And so you can see where it's all going. And eventually, they're caught. And they're sent to jail for 7 years. One of the messages that one gets from this movie, that I got from this movie anyway, is that these guys could have been any one of us. They're not messed up guys. They're not hardened criminals. They didn't have hard or bad upbringings. They were, although they, you know, it doesn't sound like it, they were four bright guys. They were at university. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, too bad. Of course, crime doesn't pay. But hey, I'm never going to rob a library. I'm never going to steal anything. And you're right. You are probably too clever. But brightness and cleverness are not enough to navigate our journey through life. In order to avoid making a mess of our lives, of making a mess of school, of university, of relationships, of our job, of our marriage, of family life, we need something more than just being clever. We need something more than just being bright. The Bible tells us that we need wisdom if we're going to navigate life well and avoid making a mess of our lives. And the reason that we need wisdom and not just brightness and cleverness is because life's really complex. And on our life's journeys, we're actually going to encounter situations which actually don't fall according to any particular plan. And actually where we find that the moral and ethical sort of principles that we govern, that can govern our lives, don't actually fit. And in fact, there are many seemingly grey areas in life which only wisdom can help us navigate. In the Bible, Solomon is famous for his wisdom. When Solomon had become king of Israel, he actually went out to this place called Gibeon to worship God. It was what the Bible calls a high place. And anyway, when Solomon's there at this place, worshipping God by giving a lot of sacrifices, he has this dream one night. And in the dream, God appears to him and tells him, "Ask from me anything, and whatever you ask from me, I will give it to you." He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for the defeat of his enemies. But instead of that, Solomon asked God to give him wisdom. And he says, "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil." And so we can see Solomon's wisdom actually shown in many books in the Bible that he has authored. And one of those is the book of Proverbs. But also we see stories about Solomon's wisdom, and one of those is actually found in the book of 1 Kings. And this story shows Solomon's competence to decide what should be done in a very complex situation. And it shows his great wisdom in how he dealt with it. You see, after Solomon had been in Gibeon, he returned to Jerusalem, where he was living. And then one day while he was in Jerusalem, two women actually presented themselves to him. And they asked him to decide a court case for them. They wanted him to decide which one of them was the true mother of a baby. You see, these two women were prostitutes, and they'd been living in the same house together. And while they were living in this house, each of them had given birth to a baby son. One had given the birth to a baby son one day, and then a few days later, another one had given birth to another son. And then one night, while these women were sleeping, one of the women rolled over and lay on her baby, and the baby died. And discovering this in the middle of the night, the woman then took her dead baby and she placed it next to the other woman, and took the woman's living baby and took it and put it next to herself. Then in the morning, when the woman wakes up, whose baby was really alive, she discovered that there was this dead baby next to her. And she was overcome with grief. But then she looked at the baby and thought, "This baby doesn't look like mine." And she was convinced that the other woman had switched the babies in the night. And so they go to Solomon. And they ask him to make a judgment about their situation. And Solomon listens to this woman as she tells this story. And then he listens to the other woman as she tells the story. And the story goes round and round. And you can imagine, because there were no witnesses apart from these two women. And then Solomon, showing great wisdom, commands one of his attendants to bring him a sword. And then he says to the attendant, he says, "Cut the baby in two and give one half to one woman and one half to the other." But the woman whose son was alive cried out to Solomon, "Stop, no, wait, don't do that. Give the baby to the other woman. Don't cut him in two." But the woman whose baby was really dead, she shouted out, "No, cut him in two. Neither of us will have the baby then." And so Solomon then told his attendants to take the baby and give it to the first woman, the woman who didn't want the baby killed, because he knew from her response that she was the true mother of that son, that child. And so in this, Solomon showed his great wisdom and understanding and able to discern things that were very complex. Now, we shouldn't think that the wisdom is just something that only young people need or people that aren't that clever need. Things happen in life all of the time, and we need to make decisions about. And without wisdom, we're going to make poor choices and poor decisions. And in fact, life can easily spin out of control. The Bible tells us that God is actually interested in all areas of our life. He's interested in our life on earth throughout our whole life, and he's also interested in our life into eternity. And so God desires that we live well and that we experience peace and well-being and wholeness in this life. But as we know, unfortunately, many lives can start out quite bright and full of promise and full of opportunity, but by middle age, things can start to dim or even spiral out of control. We therefore need wisdom for making decisions throughout all of our life. We need wisdom for when we're studying, while we're working. We need wisdom in our relationships, which relationships to pursue, which relationships to break off. We need wisdom to know who we should marry, how to raise kids. We even need wisdom in how to use our time in retirement. It's not just young people starting out life who need wisdom. Wisdom is something that we need to draw on for all of life's journey. Educated and accomplished people need wisdom as much as anyone else, because it's actually, surprisingly, it's actually really easy to do dumb things at any time in your life. The vehicle manufacturer Volkswagen recently paid $2.8 billion in fines in the United States for not being wise. You see, this company was found guilty of rigging their diesel engines in their cars to pass an emission test. The vehicles were all programmed to activate emission controls, stopping pollution coming out of the engines, when a vehicle was actually in a laboratory or in the workshop under test conditions to meet those regulation standards. But when the car was outside the lab, on the road, out in the street, it would actually produce up to 40 times more pollution than it did in the lab. Now this wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't poor engineering. In fact, we can say it was really clever engineering. Also, it wasn't just the work of one person, sort of some engineer or something who was sort of going out of his way to do something alone. This was actually a combined effort of very smart, clever, educated people, engineers and executives, who decided that they would together cheat the system. Can you imagine being in their boardroom or in their meeting of senior engineers? Can you imagine what they said? Oh, okay, so we've got a problem. Our vehicles pump out too much smoke. So I'm suggesting we cheat the system when they're under test conditions. Everyone who agrees with me, raise their hands. Okay, yeah, good, we're all agreed. So now let's design and program our cars to do that. Friends, I want to say that smart, educated people can do dumb things in life as well. And so I'm suggesting this morning that it's actually never too late to be seeking wisdom in your life. The book of Proverbs generally describes the gaining of wisdom as a process, a journey, and not as a one-off sort of instant event. Although it appears in that story that Solomon sort of had his wisdom given to him instantly, like a sort of download from the internet, it actually says in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, verse 13, that the teacher applied his mind to seeking and searching out wisdom. He applied his mind to that, which means that wisdom generally comes as a process over time. Therefore, if you want to act wisely and be discerning, then you'll need to commit yourself to gaining wisdom over the long haul of your life. Starting now, starting today, it's never too late to start and not just to expect to get it in a single installment. So the question that remains this morning is, what can we do in order to gain wisdom to navigate life? Now, in the book of Proverbs 3, Solomon tells us five essential things that we need in order to grow wisdom. And let me just tell you what these are briefly. The first step to gaining wisdom is to really, truly know God. Knowing God is not merely believing in your head that there is a God. God is not... It's actually knowing God deeply by his character. In verse 3, the teacher says to his students, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love and faithfulness are words that actually, when the Hebrew people were hearing this proverb, it would have triggered in them to remember how God spoke to Moses and how God described himself to Moses when he was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. And we can read that in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. The Lord God, the Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness are qualities of God. And we need to experience God in this way. We need to experience God that he's loving and that he's faithful, as this experience of God leads us to be able to rely on God and to trust in God in life, especially when things don't make sense and when things are spiraling out of control. In fact, I believe that many of our problems arise from not knowing God really and truly. Knowing God deeply challenges negative ideas that we have about ourselves. It challenges the idea that you can't be loved, or that you can't be accepted, or that you can't be forgiven. It challenges the idea that God is fickle, that God is unreliable, and that God will not provide for you, and therefore you have to steal or provide for yourself in some other way. It challenges the idea that God is not present in every area of our life. Therefore, knowing God truly, really, and deeply is actually the foundation of gaining wisdom. The teacher in Proverbs 3 says that we should remind ourselves of who God is and what God is like constantly. And so to do this, how do we do this? Well, we need to read about God and read about his character in the Bible. We need to write about it, write poems about it. We need to sing about it. We need to write songs about it. We need to paint that. We need to act it out if that's our style. Whatever it takes, we need to do so that we can know deeply and truly that God really loves us and that he's faithful to us. And this way, when we do this, then it should become our first response in life, and it leads us to seek God's guidance automatically in our lives. The second step for gaining wisdom is to admit that our own understanding is limited. We're actually not masters of the universe. And to get on in a complex world, we need a healthy view of our own capacity for being wise. We need some intellectual honesty about our own capacity. This doesn't mean that we're not meant to use our own brains. In fact, we see Solomon using his brain in that story as he wrestled with knowing who the true mother was of that surviving child, baby. We're meant to use our brains and our intellect as we weigh up and reason with different information and different situations that we're encountering every day of our life. In verse 5, it tells us, though, that we're meant to do this with humility, because our own understanding of things are always limited. And when we have a proper perspective on our own ability to know something, it means then that we're actually be more open to more open to the guidance of the Lord in our lives. It's actually really hard to hear God when you're shouting at the top of your lungs that you know what to do. Instead, humility will lead us to seek and listen more and allow us to hear God speaking to us in our lives. Wisdom is also not gained in isolation. Verse 7 tells us not to be wise in our own eyes. It's easy to think that what you're doing is really wise when you're actually thinking about it on your own. Oh yeah, no, that's a really good idea. But it's actually often our family, our friends, the people who we hang out with, it's actually those people who can see the flaws in our logic and who could make suggestions regarding the path or the direction that we are travelling on. This means then, if you want to be wise, then you need to hang out with the right people. If your friends and acquaintances aren't wise, then you can hardly expect they're going to give you wise counsel, which was the case for those guys in the movie American Animals. It was also the case with those engineers and executives at Volkswagen. What they really needed were people around them who would be honest and caringly speak up and say when they didn't think that the plan was a good one. Therefore, this morning, if you want to gain wisdom, make sure that you have people in your life who can give you godly advice. The fourth thing this morning that we need to do in order to gain wisdom for navigating life is to understand what God wants. And the Bible tells us what God wants. It also tells us God's character and God's nature and God's attributes. It also tells us what God has done for us, and it also tells us how to live well. In Proverbs 3:1, the teacher says that knowing about God and what God wants and acting in accordance with this will actually prolong our lives and bring peace and well-being. Lastly, this morning, the teacher tells us that actually in life we will mess up. We will experience pain and we will also experience suffering. And therefore we need to learn how to handle this the right way. You might be thinking, oh, but I thought gaining wisdom was really meant to help me avoid pain. Or it's meant to avoid or stop me suffering or stop me messing up. Actually, we're told that even Solomon, in all his wisdom, he messed up. The wisest man in the world messed up. 1 Kings 11, 3-8 tells us that Solomon didn't follow the Lord all of the time. In fact, he built altars where he worshipped other gods like Chemosh and Molech. And also, no one needs to tell you this because all of us have experienced setbacks in life or painful moments. All of us, and some of us have actually experienced or are experiencing great suffering in our life. And too often, how do we navigate those times? How do we navigate when we mess up or when we're experiencing great pain and suffering? In fact, too often, we do this by turning away from God in despair or by drinking too much or by relying on drugs or giving ourselves over to something else that will distract us or even dull the pain in our lives. And when we do this, more often than not, this will lead to more pain and more suffering instead of well-being. In the Gospel of John, we're told that the wisdom of God became flesh and blood in Jesus. Wisdom actually becomes a person in Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul calls Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says that Jesus has become for us the wisdom of God, who makes sense for us of the pain and the suffering and the brokenness that we experience in life. Trusting in Jesus, for many people, seems like foolishness for those who don't know him. But actually, for those who do know Jesus, and I know many of you, or most of you here tonight, to this morning, know Jesus in this way, know him as our great hope and help in times of trouble. Jesus is able to help us when we experience pain and suffering and despair and sorrow, because Jesus has experienced these things himself. As a suffering servant, Jesus knew the suffering and pain firsthand. And this pain was not his own, but it was actually ours. And God knows all about our mess ups, and he knows about your pain and your suffering this morning, and he enters into that with you to restore and to reconcile you to God and the creation back to God. And so today the good news for us is that Jesus continues to invite us to come to him in weariness, with our burdens, with our pain, with our mess ups, and actually find rest and peace and forgiveness from him. Therefore, this morning, true and ultimate wisdom to navigate life that will lead to life, to full life in this life and also in eternity, doesn't come actually from following the teachings of wise sages. And it actually doesn't come from following the teachings of Jesus. True and ultimate wisdom actually comes by being in a relationship with Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, and whose death and resurrection deals with our messed up lives, and who helps us to navigate our way in this life, as well as navigate our way into eternity with God, where we will experience full healing and restoration and reconciliation with God. The path of gaining wisdom has been shown to us this morning through looking at the book of Proverbs. And I encourage you to take up these ways of growing your wisdom. There's real wisdom in actually grasping those and actually applying those in your life. But I also want to suggest to you this morning that if you want to know true wisdom, then this morning Jesus is actually inviting you to come to him. And when you come to him, he will meet you there. And there you can leave your brokenness, you can leave your pain, you can leave your suffering, you can leave the messed up experiences that you've had with him and experience peace and hope and healing. And I want to invite you to do that this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, true wisdom. We thank you that you show us the path of wisdom in your word. But I want to thank you that ultimately we can experience true wisdom in life by an encounter with your son, Jesus. Help us to reflect on that and consider that this morning for ourselves. I want to thank you for this time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.